Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews, and that's not coffee. Amen. Amen. Many of you had some this morning and warmed everything up. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 9 this morning. I thank everyone who's come today. It's a blessing to be here, and I want to preach a message this morning, and with the Lord's help, called Bloodlines. Bloodlines. I'm very reminiscent, and wonderful song. Thank you, the McBrides, being here. They've been here a long time, and they're not a stranger to our church. Many of you have been here year after year and heard them sing, and it is my great pleasure to have been here 1 year. As a pastor of the Landmark Baptist Church, but I'm thankful for my bloodlines that I have on earth. I have family, amen, and I can look back through the bloodlines that I have, and I thank God for them. I've decided not to do the ancestry DNA. I know my last name is Parsons, which means sons of the preacher. And I don't really know any other preachers in my bloodlines that were preachers, so it's a little scary to go back. I don't know what I'll find. I may find some horse thieves. You know, I may find all kinds of stuff. I don't know what I'll find if I go backwards in the ancestry DNA. And you may have done that, and you may have found some good folks, but I'm a little worried. You know, I'm a little suspect about my bloodlines on earth. But here in Hebrews, if you know the book of Hebrews at all, then you realize the book itself is written to the Jewish people, but it's for us as well as New Testament believers. But here it's written and called Hebrews because the writer was trying to prove to the Jew that Jesus is better. Over and over again in the book, he shows Jesus as being better than any of the Old Testament sacrifices. He shows Jesus as being better than angels, his word. It's better than Moses and the law. Jesus, over and over and over again in the book, is better than what came before. And as I prayed and just sought the scripture on what I ought to preach on my first, I always want to be preaching on Jesus is better. You know, we live in a day where we don't know, we've never seen it like this before. You know, and even though we've had a few years like this with the world going crazy and just where we don't know what's coming tomorrow, we don't know what's going to be on the news, we don't know what the new name they're going to call COVID is, we just don't know. We don't know. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know of all those things. We didn't, you know, nobody but Bill Gates saw it coming. And, we could go through all the things and talk about all the things that are a little bit funny about the things, but really in this world, I come from a place where they grow chicken. I mean, everywhere you turn, you can smell them. Chicken houses everywhere. I mean, my hometown, I mean, it's the right across the street from the church I grew up in. It's Purdue Stadium, because Purdue Farms is right on the other side of the stadium. And you say, well, my pastor that I grew up under as a little boy is named Orrin Purdue, first cousin to Frank Purdue. You say, yeah, I mean, I've seen so many chickens, I thought there's no way there can be a chicken shortage. But, I mean, they keep telling us there's a shortage of this and a shortage of that. But, you know, I've read the back of the book, and I realize that as this old world winds down to an end, as Jesus prepares to come for his own, there's going to be famine. There's going to be hard times. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse until Jesus steps out on a cloud and calls his people to be home with him. Until the trumpet sounds, we realize those things. But as I pondered in this day and age, and on my first anniversary, what would I preach? I would preach Jesus. In Hebrews chapter number 9, he begins saying something. And if I was going to preach it, I'm a Baptist, amen. And I appreciate everybody being here today. But if I had to talk about my bloodlines, I'm going to have to tell you I'm a Baptist. Amen. And I'm from the South far enough to tell you I was Baptist born and I was Baptist bred. And when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Amen. But hopefully, the upper taker will take me to be home with him. Amen. I'm looking for Jesus, and I hope you are too. No matter where you come from or where you are, what your bloodlines tie to, every one of us should tie our bloodlines in what we find in Hebrews chapter 9. We'll begin reading here in verse 21. But I want to pray before we read the scripture. Let's pray together this morning. Dear God, as we come to you this morning, God, I know that so many people have come into your house, God, and I thank you again for letting me serve you in this place for a year. God, I pray that you'd help me just be your messenger boy one more time. That God, if you would tarry your coming through the preaching of your word, that God, you would use your word. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would do the power. Do what I can't do, God. You'd go into the hearts and the hearers, and that you would draw men to yourself. That if there's some here that don't know for sure, that if they died today, that they would go to heaven. If they're not sure of that, if they've never accepted Christ as their Savior, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would draw them unto Jesus Christ this morning. Help my speech, God. Help me to be clear. Help me to present you as clearly as I can. I'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 21, the Bible says, "Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." You see that? "It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then he must often," look at this, "often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." I want you to see this morning that the Bible has a bloodline. This book is his story, but it is a book of history. It is a history of bloodlines from the beginning until now. A bloodline that began with a man called Adam, and God raised him up out of the dust of the ground, the Creator God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he was the one, he's the Creator God, that said, "Let us make man in our own image." And he knelt down, and out of the old dirt that was there, he just made a man out of dust. And he breathed into that man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We didn't come from an amoeba. We didn't come from some evolution. We didn't come from any of those things that you may have heard a theory about. But man was made by God. And when the breath of God entered into a man that was sinless, by the way, and a bloodline was started, and it ran all the way through this book, all the way into the end. Every man, woman, boy, and child that sits inside this auditorium today, we have all kinds of things in the world that try to divide us and try to divide us upon all kinds of different lines. They try to divide us on political lines. They try to divide us. I mean, listen, I'm just going to tell you, they try to divide us on racial lines. They try to divide us in every which way possible that man could take a position and divide themselves. But there's a bloodline that runs from one man all the way through the scripture. Every one of us this morning, because of what happened by the very first man who the bloodline runs through, all of us are found today under sin because of Adam. In the garden, and we could read the story if we went back to Genesis, and we realized there that there was a man who was there, and he was just clipping the leaves, you know, like men do. And he was oblivious to what his wife was doing. Amen? Hey, it's all right to say amen. Come on, guys. Bow up, all right? He was oblivious. He didn't realize there was a snake over there in the grass. Talking to his wife. This wife that God had given him. He had no idea. He was paying attention to the work, but he wasn't paying attention to what was going on over here in his home. Isn't that a story of America today? Hey, and the snake, he came up into there, and he deceived Eve, and she gave him to her husband. And like any good husband would do, whatever his wife cooked, he ate. And we can laugh about that today, but listen, Adam had a choice, and most of us don't often think about the choice that he weighed that day. That man, and you could say, I mean, he was a good man because he held in his hand what God had told him not to touch, what God had told him not to eat of, what God had told him to separate himself from, and still the one thing God had kept back in the garden, he looked at his wife who had eaten that. And rather than having faith in God, do you realize that was the moment that man had to choose God by faith? He could have chose God by faith to take care of whatever wrong his wife had done and trusted God and stuck with God by faith. And that moment in the Garden of Eden, Adam looked at his wife and chose, I'm going to choose her over God. I'm going to choose her over everything else. Whatever God's going to do, he's going to have to do it for both of us. Listen, God is so good and merciful. God is so good and merciful as man, I mean, just threw headlong every age of man and the bloodline that would run from him all the way to the day. He cast everybody into sin that moment. With one bite, sin passed upon all men. We don't think about it that way. We don't all often think about how it all came down to one single choice. How everything that was going to happen in time and eternity came down to a choice. Do you realize eternity always is going to be boiled down to a choice? Because at that moment, it didn't catch God by surprise. You know what? Way back before that man even thought, before he ever had breathed, while he was just dirt, I believe he was being formed by the tears of Jesus Christ as he formed that man, knowing that he's making a perfect man and he was going to fill him with his own breath and he was going to make him just how he was making him after the image of God. But that man was going to take that bite and he was going to thrust all men into sin. And with tears dripping from his face, Jesus knew that he would have to redeem that man that he was making. He knew because he was God, as he looked through the annals of time, that there would be a choice for every man after this choice was made. That every man would have to make a choice whether he was going to spend eternity in heaven or whether he was going to spend an eternity in hell. He was going to make a choice of faith whether he was going to believe in the one that would come, has come, and will come again to be saved. You say, really? Preacher, one decision, every man has to come across this decision. Every man has to come to this crossroads. Every woman has to come to this crossroads. Every one of us will cross this decision in our lives. You've come to Anniversary Sunday and you say, well, I wasn't sure what you were going to preach on, preacher. I'm preaching on bloodlines. You know, Adam had a bloodline. The only thing, the Bible says here, if you'll remember what we read in verse 21, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. That means no remission of sin, folks. Without the shedding of blood, you know, all through the Old Testament, there was lamb after lamb after lamb that was slain because that is the animal that God chose to picture his son. They had this white colored wool. They had this body and they had to be protected. They had to be looked after and they were brought to the door of the temple or the tabernacle and brought to the priest. And the priest had to decide whether they were spotless or whether they were not. There had to be a decision because of what, listen, way back in the time of Adam, there was a man that fell into sin. And from then on, man was no longer spotless. And the offering was always going to picture the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they stood there and they looked. They didn't look at all the pedigree and the bloodline. They looked to see if that lamb was spotless. Couldn't be lame. It couldn't have a sore. It couldn't have any blemish whatsoever, and that wool needed to look white as snow. And then that priest would say, this lamb is acceptable. This lamb can cover the sins for another year. This lamb and his blood. Do you know, oftentimes we don't think about that. We always like to see that little cute lamb. But the rough truth of that temple and sacrifice was that lamb that was brought to the altar. His throat was then cut. And the blood gushed out, and they would catch it in bowls. And they would take that blood and they would sprinkle it upon the altar. Because that sacrifice had to die so that the blood could cover the sins of the family or of the country or whatever they were sacrificing that animal for at the time. Folks, we often don't think back. When we think of the cute sacrifice that was without blemish, do you know it wasn't much of a sacrifice if it was just the old limp one that was in the herd? That wouldn't have been much of a sacrifice, for the shepherd. Oh, this one could have been the bloodline that I ran all my other sheep through. This is the best looking sheep that I've ever had. And man, I'm gonna bring my crop up. My flock's gonna be built out of this beautiful lamb. No, that was the lamb they had to take and give to God. The pure sacrifice is what he required to redeem his people, if you could, or cover their sins for another year. I think about all the bloodlines that run through the Bible. You know, there's so many men, so many different things. You get into the book of Acts, and there's so many deviations of the bloodlines that begin, and people start to identify. But you know, when I read in the New Testament, I realize that in Luke 19:10, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, the Bible doesn't say that he came to seek and to save the Jew. Doesn't say that he came to seek and to save the European races. It doesn't say that he came and he was seeking to save all the African continent. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't say he came to seek and to save any certain people group. He lumped a bloodline in under Adam and he said, seek and to save that which was lost. And all of man from Adam through time was lost in their sins, lost and on their way to hell, lost not because, just because of what they did. Because if we were all honest with ourselves today, every one of us, even if we were born perfect, we would have sinned and messed it up before we came to church today. We would have sinned and messed it up before our first birthday. Before we could get around good. And mom and dad said, don't touch that. We'd have touched it. Hey, folks, when we're honest with ourselves, none of us could have redeemed ourselves because we were born in sin because of our bloodline. We've come to a place here in the scripture where he says that they had this place. The Bible uses this term here, and we've no temple and tabernacle and all the things, but there in verse 21, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these. You see, the tabernacle and the temple of old, that God had allowed, you know, not only the tabernacle that he ordered and the temple that David desired to build for him and God ordered, if you're going to build a temple for me, this is how it's going to be done and this is who's going to do it. But every one of those things were sprinkled with the blood of lambs to purify them. But there was a place. And I want you to get a hold of how important the blood of Jesus Christ is this morning. And just how pure it was. Because in heaven there was a tabernacle not made with hands. No man's sinful hands ever touched it. The ornaments and the pieces of ministry, the vessels as the Bible describes them of ministry, every one of those things that were on earth were things that were in heaven. They were just things to picture what we had on earth. They were things just to show us what God was going to do one day through his Son in heaven. But if it was important for the lambs on earth to sprinkle and to appear, to picture the pattern of cleansing the items inside the temple, and we know no lamb's blood could ever cleanse anything, they were only to picture one day what Jesus was going to do. And I don't know if you can hold on to it, folks, but I'm here to tell you, you know that we had one Adam, and his name was Adam. Amen. And he fell into sin, but there was a second Adam, thank God. Because my bloodline, listen, I want to tell you how important it was. We had somebody that came from heaven. His name was Jesus. And he took on a part of my bloodline. You realize that the blood, the DNA that you have, it's passed on from father to father to father. But there was a man born named Jesus that didn't come of another man. His father was God. And his bloodline, when you trace it back, he's the second beginning. He's the second Adam. He's the second bloodline. And listen, can I tell you, you know what's going to happen? If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to have to jump bloodlines. If you're going to get to heaven, you can't stay in the old bloodline that leads back to Adam. You got to get in the second one. If you're going to be saved today, you can't ride by your family or your goodness or the patriarchal person that you ought to be. You're going to have to come through Jesus alone. But it still is amazing to me, as I read of all the better things, there's a better tabernacle in heaven where atonement was made. It's not one made with hands. The vessels aren't made by man's hands. No man tainted that with any sinful thing. It was made by God. But still, the tabernacle and the vessels had to be purified by blood. And there was only one man. There was only one person. There was only one God-man that had perfect enough blood to purify the vessels and the tabernacle that resides in a holy place in heaven. And his name is Jesus. He walked in. I don't know about you, but I get excited every time I think about this. And I've heard songs that sing about it, but there's nobody that can do it justice. I'm just telling you, but one day I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to hear the angels and I'm going to hear the host of heaven ring out, "Holy, holy, holy." Hey, folks, when I think about what Jesus did for me, and he died, and they laid him in a borrowed tomb because he wasn't going to stay there. And 3 days later, he rose up on the third day and he took the keys to death and hell and walked into a tabernacle not made with hands. With a handful and bowl of his own blood as a high priest, not one that was ordained of men, but one that was ordained of God. He walked in and I can hear ringing in the background, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb who is worthy to be praised." Amen. And that same Jesus walked up to the mercy seat in heaven and made atonement for my sin and for your sin. And I realized I must get in on this bloodline. Folks, today I stand before you and I'm proud of my name. My dad's a good man and taught me how to work and taught me how to be a good man and how to go to church and how to live right. But I'll not get to heaven because of his bloodline. I don't want to stand before the gate of heaven one day, standing before the Lord as everybody talks and tells a story, and stand there at the gate and stand in the bloodline that gave me my name, Parsons. I'll stand and they say, "What's your bloodline?" I'll say, "Jesus." "What's your bloodline?" "God's only begotten Son." "What's your bloodline?" I'm going to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb who is worthy, amen, to be praised." I don't know about you today, but when I stand before the gate, I won't get in because of who I am, but because of whose I am. When I stand before the throne of grace, I'll be there only because of the blood that was slain of God's Son. Today, my bloodline runs all the way back to the cross. My bloodline, it runs all the way back to a living Savior. There are people in this world today that are trusting in their own works. And your works will only get you just so far. And that place, that far, is in hell. You know, there's folks in this auditorium today You've got works and you're a good Sunday school teacher. You ran bus route. Maybe you sang in the choir. Maybe, we could make a list of all the good things you've done. You fed folks that were hungry. Out in the cold, you put a blanket on somebody that was cold. You gave a cup of water to people when they needed it. None of your works are going to get you to heaven. There are people in this building today that think that you could lose your salvation. Listen, I'm here to tell you, Jesus is not. He is once offered for sin. In verse 26, it says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Jesus died once, and all you got to be saved is once. If you just stop believing in Jesus plus something else. Because it's not Jesus plus your baptism. It's Jesus and nothing else. It's not Jesus plus your works. It's Jesus and nothing else. It's not Jesus plus being a good person. No, you got to realize that you are a sinner lost and on your way to hell. And your good works are nothing but filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. And you have to repent. What does repent mean, preacher? That mean I got to turn from all my sin? No, it means you need to turn from anything else that you're believing in unto Jesus Christ. That means if you're believing that baptism helped save you, you got to turn from that and realize that it's Jesus and nothing else to be saved. If you're trusting in your works plus Jesus, you've got to repent and turn. If you think that some church can feed you crackers and juice and that helps save you, you've got to repent and turn from that and turn to Jesus and accept Him, His death, burial, and resurrection completely for salvation. You say, "You're making it awful plain." I ask God to help me make it plain. Folks, I just want you to understand, it's Jesus plus nothing. It's not holy and works. It's not holy and baptism. It's not holy and something else. It's holy, holy, holy for a thrice holy God. And there's no place for my works or your works in it. There's no place for my baptism or your baptism, is it? Baptism's good. I think you ought to get baptized because it's the first step of obedience for the Christian. It's not church membership. It's good to be a church member, but church membership won't get you to heaven. There's membership in a different bloodline. That's the only way you'll get there. That's accepting the finished work of Christ. You say, "Preacher, you're beating a dead horse." No, folks, I'm beating a dead bloodline. If you're beaten and you're trying to trust in your works or any of Adam's works or anybody's works that went before you, if you think because you're an American you're going to get there, you're sorely mistaken. If you think that some righteous act or anything that you, "Oh, I got saved because somebody pulled me out of a car." You got saved from a car accident, but to be eternally forgiven of your sins, you must come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says it this way, you must be born again into a brand new bloodline. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Don't wait. Don't step away. Don't run away. You've got to come to Jesus Christ today and trust Him as your Savior. Trust Him as the one and say, "I want this new bloodline. I accept you and your finished work of Calvary." Listen, if you're not saved, you come to Christ today. If you're here and you're not a member of a church, and you've been saved, and you've been baptized, and boy, you've been looking for a good church, why don't you join this church today? A church that'll stand and preach it straight. Be a part of something for God. If you're here and you've never made the first step of obedience, why don't you come to God and say, "God, I'm saved, but I need to be baptized. I need to take this first step of obedience and trust in you that way." Listen, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, let me ask you this. Whose bloodline have you been resting in? Have you been trusting in the past bloodline of works? You've been trusting in the bloodlines of Adam? Or have you been putting your trust in the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His finished work on Calvary? If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want to pray for you. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking but me and God. If you say, "Preacher, pray for me, I'm not sure I'm saved," I want you to pray for me this morning. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you this morning? Is there anybody in the auditorium that say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I died right now." I see that hand over there. I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody else that slipped in. I see that hand. I see that hand. Listen to me now. We're an old church. I see that hand over here on the left. Listen, what I want you to do, as the music begins to play and we stand to our feet, let's all stand this morning. If you're here and you slip your hand up, I am going to pray. And when I finish praying, we're going to have an old-fashioned invitation. That means that you can step out into the aisle and you can come to the front, and there'll be people down here. If you're sitting near one of those people and you invited them, why don't you ask them if you can go with them and say, I'd like to go, and let's go down and let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. But I would ask the auditorium, if you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed as God does business with his people, I'm going to pray, and you pray where you are. If you're not saved and you need to be saved, you step out and come as I pray. Dear Lord, I pray for these. There's so many that raise their hand, Lord, and I beg you, help them not to leave this place with not knowing if they're saved or they're lost. Help them to come down and receive Jesus as their Savior. Help those that maybe didn't have the courage to raise their hand, or they just not sure. Lord, I pray they'd come and make it sure today. God, help people to do what you're calling and leading them to do. Help our people to help them. Help them to come with them if they need somebody to come with them. We ask it in the name that is above all names, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your head with me this morning? Folks have come. There are several other people that raised their hand. That said they didn't know if they were died today, they'd go to heaven. Would you step out and come while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? While the music plays, this is an old-fashioned invitation. The invitation is for you to come and be saved. Please step out and come. Don't wait for someone else. You come. There are people here waiting to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. As Brother Bert sings, you come.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to
bow your head with me this morning, and if you're a Christian, would you begin to pray? There were hands all across the auditorium, and there was hands in the balcony. If God moved in your heart for you to raise your hand and say, I need to be saved, then today is the day of salvation. Please don't put it off till another day. If I could come to you and beg you, I would. But listen, I beg you this morning. I beg you from here at the altar that you would step out and come and receive Jesus Christ, not for me, but for your sake. The choice this morning is heaven or hell. Turn away from hell and the lost bloodline that you have, and turn to the bloodline of Jesus Christ that'll take you to eternal life in heaven. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come. While heads are bowed, please pray as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight rich is healing of the mind, yea, Lamb of God, I come. welcome pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Still in attitude of prayer. Folks are being dealt with this morning. We still would love for you to come. There's still time for you. If you're here and you're not saved, why don't you step out and come? I know you're saying, well, I'm just waiting for it to end. Why don't you just give in to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to the preacher, not to the invitation, but to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God in your life that you need to be saved. Why don't you step out and come? If you're here and you know you need to talk with God, the altar's open for you. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, but you just need to pray with somebody and get something right, why don't you come? The altar's open for you. Maybe you need to join this church, or maybe you need to be baptized this morning. The altar is open for you. Step out and come as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood.